I know I got to say hi to you already, but makes me just want to say hi again, being up here. Hi again. I know everybody hadn't milled in here, so for everybody who's milling in, hi and happy Mother's Day again. So glad you're here to worship the Lord at Christ Community Church. God gave me an interesting message today. It's always interesting when there's national holidays or emphasis days like Mother's Day, because you don't always find, you know, they didn't have Mother's Day holiday back there. When Jesus was walking around, or Moses and them, they didn't have Hallmark cards, and, you know, they just chipped away a stone and gave it to their mama, and, you know, a little more primitive back then. So it's always interesting, but God led me to preach on something I think that mamas often fall victim to. And what I would hope in this message is to help mamas and everybody else to find a sure footing for real hope, to find sure footing for real hope. There's a lot of things in our world that give us false hope. Matter of fact, one of them, I was reading a story of a family whose child had terminal cancer. It was a very aggressive kind of cancer that affected the brain of children. The prognosis for the hope of recovery is like 5%. It was just bad news. Well, ever since the 70s, there was a doctor who was claiming that he could cure this cancer, and he wasn't able to, but he kept telling people he could, and he would tell them, you know, I'll just take this medicine that he was making himself, and that if they would pay him $25,000, they'd pay him all the money they could give him, he would cure their kid for sure. Now, what happens when a doctor says, I'll cure your kid for sure if you just give me a certain amount of money? What happens to a mama's heart? What does she hear? I can cure your kid for sure. See, they've already been through all the traditional stuff. They've heard all the numbers forecast. They've heard all these things said, hey, don't worry about, you know, there's not a lot of hope. Well, these folks would beg, borrow, and steal to get up the money to pay this fella. And then what would happen in a month or two? What do y'all think? Child die. And this has just been happening. He's in Texas. It's still happening. What was he selling? It really wasn't the medicine that he was selling. He was selling a hope. A hope that if you take this regimen, you'll be cured. That if you do what I tell you and you give me this money, you'll be cured. It was a false hope. Let me say this. If you're supposed to be going to children's church, I'm sorry, I forgot. Ready? Break. Yeah, my bad. Everybody's looking at me like, why are we here? Why do we have to listen to the big guy? I'm not but a child. I'm supposed to be in here. Someone help me. We find that kind of false hope disgusting, really. He had a new case that went through, and he's being retried, and that's why this doctor's in the news again. That's how I came across the story. But he's selling a false hope. Let me define false hope for us, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the sermon. It says, the term false hope refers to a hope based entirely around a fantasy. The term false hope refers to a hope based entirely around a fantasy. Fantasy meaning something that's not real, by definition, can't be real, fiction, made up, make believe. And pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that we're able to come here and hear your word, be with, to hear the mamas, thank the mamas, see the babies, all that stuff. It's all good. Now we want to hear from your word. Save mamas from a false hope. Save all of us from a false hope. Because there's no fantasy, there's no myth, there's no make-believe story that can really make us right with you. There's no make-believe story can make our children right with you. There's no miracle one-shot answer cure that makes unrighteous people righteous, unholy people holy. lost people found. It's only through you. So help us to come to that. And Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read you a story about false hope. And it involves two mamas. It's in the book of Judges in chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Judges, chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible, start bringing your Bible to church. Come on, man. You know, that's one of them easy places to bring your Bible. Bring it to church. Come on. Easy. 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 Let's bring it to church. Judges chapter 5, verses 28 through 31. This is what it says. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" Her wisest ladies answered her, yes, she answered herself, "Are they not finding and dividing the spoil? To every man a girl or two? For Sisera, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus, let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength." This passage discusses two mamas. One mama, the biological mama of a successful army general. This guy was the man. He led up the army of the enemies of Israel. He had like 800 chariots at his command. He had beaten every army and every foe that ever stood before him. He was successful. He was strong. He was smart. He had it all. He was just that kind of man. He was like a superhero. He was a good son. His mama loved him. His mama counted on him being good enough to get out of any problem. His mama was convinced that nobody could whoop her son because her son was an angel. And whatever he did was right. Whatever he did was good. Whatever trouble he got into, he can get out of because he's just that good. Now, there's another mama, and we don't get to see her until the very end. Verse 31 is the voice of a mama named Deborah. Now, we don't know if Deborah had any biological children. What we know about Deborah was she was a matriarch for the nation of Israel. She was a mama of the whole country. You know, you can be a mama and exercise that influence over a big old group of people. And Deborah was the mama for God's people. She looked after them. She's called a prophetess. She spoke the word of God to them. She prayed for them. She encouraged them. And she led them in the right way. She set a good example. And what I want us to see in the tale of these two mamas is that one mama had a false hope. And one mama had a good and real hope. And my, again, prayer today is that we'd all find a sure foundation to have a real hope in this world for our own soul and for the soul of those we love and that we lead that are children to us, either biological or under our influence. Y'all with me? So let's look at the false hope first. False hope delivered. Let me tell you that false hope comes to us through many different delivery mechanisms. We hear it all around. We can be assured of it. People reinforce a fantasy. People reinforce a situation that's not true in order to give us hope. This mama, Sisera's mama, was crying, "Oh, why is my son so long in coming home?" The truth was, Sisera was dead in a pretty gruesome way. I'm not going to go into it because it's Mother's Day and Mom's, you know, They skip the gory scenes on the DVD, you know. And so we don't need to see that, but we just need to know that Sisera is a goner. The reality is Sisera lost. The reality is he's gone. He's dead. He's no more. It's it. He's out. That's the reality. And yet when she starts crying and getting upset, it says her wisest friends, her counsel, comes around her and says, "No, there's just so much to do still. You know, he conquered those people, and he's dividing up their women, he's dividing up their goods, he's dividing up their money, he's dividing up all these things so that he can take it home. And that's what's taking him so long. It's not that something bad's happened to him, because, you know, how could it happen to him? The hope would be he's so successful. He's so smart. He has so much money. Bad things can't happen to people that have a lot of money. Bad things can't happen to people who are so smart and courageous. It's just taking a long time because he was so successful. Sometimes that false hope comes to us because people don't want to hurt our feelings. People don't want us to consider the truth, and so they hand us a false. Has that ever happened to you? Instead of getting just the true, plain deal, they sugarcoat a fabricated lie because they don't want to see that expression on your face go, that makes me sad. Instead of finding out what the truth is and saying, I don't know why it's taking your son so long, let's inquire of the rest of the army to find out, they just handed a false hope. It's going to be okay. How many times we say that to people when we ain't got no idea whether it's going to be okay or not? It's going to be okay. What happens when it's not okay? I want you to hear this. It's okay when things aren't okay. In this world, things aren't always going to be okay. Things aren't always going to fall in line. Things aren't always going to be good. That doesn't mean that God can't work them out for the good to those who believe in His name and are called according to His purpose, but it does mean that they're not always good. But we can get sold on a false from our friends and our family. That's exactly what happened to her. Her wisest advisors, they said to her, no, he's just finding and dividing the spoil. What could possibly happen to him? And then it says, yes, she even said to herself. She grabbed a hold of that pretty lie. She took it into her heart. She believed it, that, yeah, everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. I don't need to make any plans. I don't need to make any arrangements. I don't need to deviate from my course. I don't need to reconsider my life. I don't need to repent. I don't need to redefine what real hope is and what real success is. I don't need to think about why maybe my son was killed while he was fighting those people of God. I don't need to do all that because I believe it's going to be all right. A false hope might encourage you for a moment, but there's going to come a time when it crashes down on itself. There's going to come a time when you no longer can believe it yourself, when you no longer can justify staying on the same course, and you become angry because you know you were betrayed. But who do you lash out at when you betrayed yourself? See, this mama believed a false hope herself. Oh, what a bad situation. But that's what was going on with Sisera's mama. She believed, because her son was good, that only good would happen to her son. Now, I want us to think about this. I want us to leave the book of Judges, which this is back between 1400 and 1000 B.C. I know that's a big time period, but it happened somewhere in that time. And let me suggest something. Mamas haven't changed in that 3,400-year period of time. Did y'all know that? Mamas haven't changed. They're still the same beautiful, wonderful, sometimes gullible creatures. Desiring and willing the best, even though they might not think through what it means. And I want to bring it up to our time, because we get false hope all around. We get a false hope that if our kids are raised in the right way and they go to the right schools, everything that's right is going to happen to them. That's a false hope. Listen, it doesn't matter. All those things are no shield to the bad things that break into our world. It doesn't mean them unimportant. Get a good raising up. Raise your children right. Get them into good schools. But be honest. That doesn't protect them from the bad things. Get them married off to good people. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen in their marriage. Help them to raise their kids right, but it doesn't mean that your grandbabies will always be right. We live under this delusion that we can control the outcome of things. We can control what influences our kids' lives, what comes into their world. There's no truth in that. Do your best and get your kids to be attached in a relationship to Christ, which doesn't keep bad things from happening. It just means ultimately they're taken care of. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But y'all, we get sold this bill of goods. We get sold it by the world. Matter of fact, a lot of people in this world, in our country today, would say, I'm selling you all some false hope. Because I'm talking about Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the gospel, I'm talking about eternal life, and they'll say, oh, that's nothing but a false hope. You ain't doing nothing but preaching a false hope. These people might think they can go somewhere nice when they die, so they won't be afraid. I'd like to turn that on their head and say, you aren't doing nothing but believing in a false hope, hoping that you're not going to go somewhere bad when you die. And you try to eliminate God in the whole process. And there we have a stalemate. But I'm going to tell you this. God is real. God is true. God is no false hope. He's the real deal. Before this world was, there was God. After this world is, there's God. That's true. And the world might say to us, hey, that gospel stuff's nothing but a myth. You just are trying to make yourself feel better. Well, don't you forget, they're trying to make themselves feel better too. Because if there's no God, there's no accountability. If there's no God, there's no truth. If there's no God, there's no firm place for us to stand and say what's right and what's wrong. And they're trying to get out of all that business. Because they feel guilty. They feel bad. Don't buy it. Don't buy the false hope that the world will sell. It comes, like I said, it says if you got enough money, if you was born in the right place, if you were born to the right parents, if you was born the right color, if you was born the right circumstance, right ages, all that stuff. Even if you was born under the same, you know, the right star. I'm an Aquarius according to the star watchers, you know, and that makes things all right. We are in the age of Aquarius. Have you heard that song? The age of Aquarius. I know I'm not supposed to sing that in church. But you know, it's a false hope. Who cares what stars I was born under? They're all God's. God made all those stars. He knows all of them by name. They all listen to Him. I don't want none of that hope, that false hope that God that the world is selling. I wish it was only the world that was selling it, though. The church sells a false hope. That's where the atheists kind of get onto us. You know, in every attack and every criticism, I don't know if you've learned this for yourself, but sometimes there's a kernel of truth. We don't like to be criticized, and so we usually lash out at people. You know, when there's a campaign, isn't there a campaign coming up this year? A House and a Senate and all that stuff, midterm elections. So we're going to hear a whole bunch of people talking bad about a whole bunch of other people in the commercials. You know, they might have already started. I don't know. It's coming. It comes every year. They said, I'm immoral. But you know what? They're really more immoral than I am. And oh yeah, well, they're the immoralist. And this is what they did. And they're going to start talking bad about each other. But you know what? There's usually a kernel of truth in criticism, even when it comes against you, that we ought to pay attention to. And y'all, there's something in the church that we ought to pay attention to. Somehow or another, the church has given this impression. If you have the ability to cross through the threshold of a church building, you must be all right with God. If you can walk, crawl, or be dragged in, and you're in church, the pastor up front, and everybody's going to say, oh, we all brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're all right with Jesus because we walked into a church building. Doesn't that make us right with Jesus? Does that make you right with Jesus? Look, I'm glad you're here. I hope you keep coming back. Matter of fact, if I could somehow convince you that you can't be saved unless you do come back, man, we'll have a wonderfully growing church. just wouldn't be based on truth. Too many people have a false hope that because they come, because they attend, because they know where their Bible is, that they must be right with God. Because they've crossed off things on the visitor's card. Come to church, brought my tithe, brought my Bible. I must be good. Y'all, that doesn't make us right with God. Can you imagine if that did make us right with God? How short the Bible could be? It would be a pamphlet. Hey, it doesn't matter if you relate to God. Here's the pamphlet that says, come to church, bring your Bible, bring your tithe, and you're good to go. You're going to heaven when you die. I could write that on a 3x5 card in large, like 20 size font. Actually, I always write big. I like 20. Anyways, I have bad handwriting. Don't judge me. Point is, that's a false hope we give. Let me tell you something that I love about Christ Community Church. Although I do think we fall into that false hope from time to time. We sell because we don't always hold people accountable and we don't always confront. But let me tell you why I believe people come to this church is because they've recognized that they're a sinner and they need help. And if you're here because you think you're a good person or you think this makes you good, let me just pop the bubble. I believe people ought to come to church because they need a Savior because they realize that they are lost sinners. And even if you have a relationship with God, you've come to realize it had nothing to do with your goodness, but everything to do with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you might not understand all about Jesus. You don't got to understand all about the Bible and Jesus to be here. You just don't. You just need to understand it's about Him and not about you. Can we do that? Because anything else is a false hope. A lot of people come back to church because they've had kids. You know, they were in church when they were a kid. They go to college, they drop out of church. Almost all of them. Just drop out. Nate, where you at? You're going to college, right? Don't you drop out of church. You know what I'm saying? Calling him out, don't do it. They drop out of church. And then they get married. And then they have kids. And they realize that kids are a glorious and blessed pain in the neck. And you love them, but they're hard to raise. And they drive you to your limits and you pull your hair out of your head. And you're like going, why on earth did God do this to me? I thought we were friends. And then it dawns on you. I know what I need to do. I need to do the same thing my mom and dad did. I need to get these babies up and dress Sunday morning and take their towels to church because they need Jesus. You might not even be thinking at this point that you need them yet, but you're sure your kids need them. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know what they're doing. They're upside down. They need Him. And so you haul the family back to church to get them right with the Lord, but you still have never crossed the threshold that says, I need Jesus. And you're dealing in a false hope that somehow coming to church is going to make you a better mom and daddy, make you right with God, make you on the way to heaven. It doesn't do that stuff. That's religion stuff. That's not Jesus stuff. You might get to thinking you can do any number of good things and it's going to make you right with God. You could be getting to think, hey, my kids, they've gone to church. Hey, they must be all right. But so I don't even need to talk to them about Jesus. It's understood. So we get together for Thanksgiving, it's understood. We're all right with Jesus. 4th of July, it's understood. We're all right with Jesus. Birthdays, holidays, we're all right with Jesus. Mother's Day, high five, mama. We're all right with Jesus. Because you went to church? We sell that. We perpetuate that false hope. And we need to stop. It's just no good, even if it bolsters our numbers. You want to have a huge church of people who when are going to live eternally separated from God? No, man. We don't want to do that. Last but not least, just like Sisera's mama, we condition ourselves. We talk to ourselves. It's going to be okay. When we get overwhelmed, instead of coming to God, oftentimes we'll believe a false hope and we'll comfort ourselves. It's okay. It's going to be okay. That's all right. And we're gonna self-affirm. We're going to do some things based on things that just aren't true. Self-deception is the worst deception because you can't get away from the deceiver. When you deceive yourself, you're in huge trouble. We can stop all that by, when we get overwhelmed, we're just coming to God. We try to lean on our emotions. We try to lean on our experience. We try to lean on us. We try to lean on our strength. We try to lean on, do you hear the everything that has to do with us? Before we come and say, God, I can't do this. I can't. I can't be the perfect mama. I can't be the perfect wife. I can't be the perfect homemaker. I can't be the perfect PTA lady. I can't be the perfect church member. I can't be the perfect all these things. It's all falling in. That's when we need to go, help me, Lord. Save me from the got-to-dos. Save me from all this stuff. Help me be the person you created me to be. Help me stop lying to myself. How awful it is when we lie to ourselves. This is a rhetorical question. I wonder, have you ever lied to yourself? Have you ever said, this is going to be the last time I do this? I promise. What happens when you make that promise? This is the last time I'm going to say those mean words to her. Maybe we try to lie. We lie to ourselves. We lie, honey, I will never talk to you like that again. Until the next time. We need to stop lying to ourselves. We need to stop accepting false hope, no matter who's selling it. Whether it's the world, or whether it's the church in a religious sense, we need to stop buying it. And not be satisfied with anything but the truth, even if it's not pleasant at the time. False hope is subtle and it's devastating. I believe it keeps people out of heaven. And I'll tell you, we need to find a sure foundation for our hope. Let's look at how false hope is defeated. Let me just ask, how do you defeat anything that's false? What beats a false? A true. A true beats a false every time. It's like you got to pull out the false, expose it to the light of truth, and it'll die. Like a bacteria or like a virus or whatever dies in the sunlight. Those kind of things. I could ask medical advice over there, but we'll just let that go. It dies when it gets into the light of truth. I want you to hear what this mama says. I want you to hear what Mama Deborah says. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love Him or love God be like the sun when it comes up in full strength. Here's three truths that we need to know that defeat self-hope so that we can have a real hope. Number one. Oop, I had a thing in here. Number one is this. There is a difference with the Lord. Deborah says, let your enemies perish, but let those who love you shine. And long time, too long in churches, we've acted like there isn't no difference. But let me tell you, there's a difference between those who love the Lord and those who don't. And it's not a difference always humanly discernible. It's not something that we can brag on. I love God, you don't. You're going to burn, I'm not. Ha, 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 ha. That's not child of God talk. But I'm going to tell you something. For those who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is not a happy ending. And for too long, we pretended like there is. And that's one of the things we built a false hope on. They'll be okay eventually. If I keep enabling them, they'll be okay. If I give them $100 more, $1,000 more, another car, if I pay off their credit card, if I get them out of jail again, they'll be okay. No, at some point or another, you've got to realize that the problem goes deeper and that your child is lost as a ball in high weeds and he doesn't need your money, he needs your prayer. Because there ain't no amount of money that's going to save them. But mamas don't like to make that difference. I don't know a mama in Grenada, probably not one in the whole Bible Belt, who will say, yes, my son, whom I love, is on the way to hell because he's as lost as a goose. Every one of them are going to say, well, I raised them in church, and I told them the good way, and I did this and that. And they won't look and see, no, my kid's a hellion. And he needs prayers, and he needs God to intervene. They don't ever get to their, you know, they never get to their lowest common denominator. They never get desperate enough because they believe in this false hope junk. But let me tell you, God doesn't play and see the same way we see. This verse has enemies and those who love Him. God sees it clearly. There are people who don't love Him. And it says that they should all likewise perish like Sisera perished. They should all die like he died. Oh, that's cruel and unusual. No, it's not. That's real. What's cruel and unusual is to pretend that you or somebody you love loves God when they don't got a care in the world for God. And everybody could see it. A glass eye and a dead duck could see it. That's a new saying. Go ahead, repeat that. You know, when you're out of here. But we make believe. They'll be okay. I talked to them and they said when they were 8, they got saved. Well, what can I do? You can say you got saved anytime you want. The Bible says the devil believes in God, but he don't act saved. So why would we hold out this false hope? Why wouldn't we get desperate? Why wouldn't we hit our knees in prayer? Because we believe they'll be okay. They just need time. No, in time, they're going to die, and they're going to have a bad end. You need to get on it, and we need to get on it. So there's the truth. God makes a difference between those who love Him and those who don't. And if it's you or your family who don't, you'd be wise to make that difference too. Second truth. It's important that we obey the word of God. We obey the word of the Lord. Deborah says, let those who love God. Where did she get that from? That sounds like a nice thing a mama would say. Let those who love God. Well, let me tell you, the first and great commandment in the Bible, it's this simple. Love God. That's the first and great commandment. For everybody. This is what Deborah was praying for her children, for the children of Israel, for the people of God. It wasn't a sentimental, emotional love. It was a love that said, I will obey the word of the Lord. That I'll obey God. That was her prayer for her children. Not just that they'll be successful and that they'll have a roof over their head and they'll have a car under their butt and that they'll have food in their stomach and clothes on their back. Those are all good things. But those aren't the best things. This mama prayed the best. That they would love God. Because a person who loves God is going to live with God forever. This is the first and great commandment. Love them. Now, I don't think a person can love God on their own. I believe a person has to have to come with an honest encounter with Jesus Christ where they give their whole life to Him. That's when they begin to love Him. You can't love the Father and not accept the Son. Jesus said that. You can't honor the Father and not honor the Son. So how do we obey this word to love God? We give our lives to Christ for real. And we learn to love Him. Just like a husband has to learn to love his wife. Just like a wife has to learn to love and respect her husband. It's a relationship like any other. You have to learn and you have to grow. That's why it makes me so suspicious when people say they love God but have nothing to do with Him. I love God, but I hate His church. I hate His people. I hate His word. I hate His praises. I'm not quite sure about heaven. It seems pretty boring to me. And you go, really? But you love Him. What? That's weird. You know, what a puzzle. It's really not a puzzle. It's just true that this person doesn't care for God. They're just scared of going to hell. Scared of going to hell does not a loving Christian make. Y'all understand? So we want to be people who fall in love with God and obey Him. That's the truth. The next is that we want to see people when they love God. Her next prayer was that they would rise and shine with the Lord. they would rise and shine for the glory of the Lord. There's something about a person who loves God. They want to see God glorified. They want to see God get the credit. They want to see God lifted up. They want to see God honored. Ask yourself, do you want to see God honored? Do you want to see God get the credit for what's happened in your life? Or do you want God just to be the power behind making your life what you'd want it to be? So you get the credit. So you get called, you know, when we have your funeral and we're at your obituary, or, you know, we're telling your story, your eulogy. He was such a good man. He always did good man type stuff. He wore good boots, and he really loved puppies. And because of that, I think we all ought to celebrate how good a man he was. He was just so good. Oh, and Jesus too at the end. Man, that's not the life we want to live. One where it's all about us. We want to live a life where it's all about Him. That's what this mama prayed. Make my babies to be like the sun when it goes out in its full strength. You know, again, this is not just pulled out of the air. God says His glory is like light. It shines. It's bright. And the Jews' greatest hope and thought of heaven was that brightness. And they're saying, may my babies reflect the light of God in heaven. May my babies reflect that light and shine and rise up. That's a New Testament hope also. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 13 and verse 43, Jesus talks about those who have come to know God. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hey, if you thought Jesus saved you to live the best life you can live now, you've been sold a lie in hardback form and on the television, and you need to come and say, I'm here by the power of God to live for Christ and His glory, not my own. We've been called to shine forth. Jesus says the righteous are going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They're going to bring glory. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says this, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father. They see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hey, doing good works isn't going to get you saved, but as you're saved and you live that life, your good works will be seen and your Father will be glorified. That's the truth. That's what we're here for. We're here to live a life that will glorify God, not one that just makes us comfortable. Here's another false hope that we can expose to the light of day right here, right now. We think all good things come from God and all bad things come from the devil. That way, whenever it's something good, we can say, well, praise God. And whenever it's something uncomfortable, we can say, oh, that bad devil. And we can think that God is nothing but a giant candy man salesman. He's like the Willy Wonka of heaven, and he's just passing out candies for everybody all the time. Let me tell you something. God will do whatever God needs to do to get your attention, to get you living right. And if that means something you perceive as bad because it makes you uncomfortable, God's okay with that because He's looking to get your attention so that you don't spend eternity away from Him. He uses all those things. But Christ Community Church and mamas this morning, listen to me. There is a real hope in Jesus Christ. There is a real hope. He can really change people's lives. And I want to talk to us from an angle of intercession as we close. If you've got somebody in your life, it's a little easier right now than maybe just looking at yourself. But if you've got somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus, there's no fruit. There's no reason to believe that they're following Christ, that they believe in Christ, that they love Christ. Let me invite you to say, now is the time to be praying. Now is the time to share your witness. Now is the time to help them get to a firm foundation. because there is no other way for your babies to be right with God except for through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you set yourself up for failure, and don't you set them up for failure. Don't inoculate them from the truth by giving them just a little bit and telling them they're okay. I hear preachers who preach all day long on the assurance of faith as if that's the good news. That's not the good news. The good news is sinners can be saved. The assurance of our faith is a blessing from God. I believe in it, but it's not the gospel. Don't you go convincing lost people that they're saved. Pray for them if you can't talk with them. Talk to them if you can. Plead with them. Don't annoy them. Just plead with them. Share with them. But don't peddle them a soft, false hope. And don't do it for yourself. There's a time when you cry out to God. That's what these people did. I didn't tell you the background of these verses. The people of God had become caught up in bondage. The armies were coming to crush them. And they cried out to God. And God raised up a leader. It just so happened that leader was a lady named Deborah. And she was a godly lady. And she got on her knees and she prayed. And they gathered their forces. And God gave them specific direction. And they routed the enemy, who was bigger, tougher, meaner, better soldiers. But the people won. The people of God won. Because they weren't trusting in themselves. They trusted in God. Oh, that's the way we can be. You know who wins in this world? The ones who put their faith in Christ. That's who wins. Not the ones with the most toys at the end. Not the ones who the world pats on the back and says, you've really done well. It's those who've put their faith in Christ. Now we're going to have a special invitation. Twofold invitation. First is to say, if you're here right now, and you know that you don't have Christ in your life, and don't tell me you don't know, because the Bible says He makes it clear to us. His Spirit speaks to our spirit that we would know we're children of God. If you're not a child of God, today's a great day to become that child of God. This is our first invitation. So if that's you today, you can pray to God right where you are. If you need help praying, you can come up and ask me. But this is our first invitation. If you need to know Christ and get rid of the false hope, embrace the real hope in Jesus Christ, do that today. Let's do that now. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ really died on the cross, was buried, He really rose from the dead, He really ascended into heaven where He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, making intercession for us sinners. And Lord, I pray that if there's any here who's unsure of where they stand with you, Lord, just move them. Let them know. Crack through the false hope. Crack through the years of reaffirming that somehow they could be right with you if they just checked off the boxes, or if they just had the right lifestyle. Check all that. Break through that. And let them know if they understand who Jesus is. I pray in Jesus' name. This is your time. Do business. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. Do your business with God. If you need to know Him, call out to Him. If you need help, I'll be standing here. Just take a minute. Father God, I pray right now. I know that in a room like this, there's many people on our hearts, people we love, people that we're sure they don't know you. It's not that we're judging them. It's just that we see. You said a tree will be known by its fruit, and we see. Maybe we've heard them declare that they don't love you. Maybe they pretend to love you in word, but their heart's far from you. Father, we just want to pray for them right now. Y'all listen to me. We're going to have another time of prayer. And I want you to pray for those. I want you to pray for your babies. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your nieces and nephews, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your coworkers. Pray for those who don't know Christ. And stop believing someday they'll be okay if we just neglect this issue. It doesn't become okay with neglect. It'd be like neglecting cancer and just thinking it's going to go away if I don't look at it. It's not true. It only gets worse. Pray for them right now. Father God, again, we just thank you. We thank you for our children, for grandchildren, everybody in our family that we've been mentioning and that's being prayed up to you even now. Father, we thank you for them. They're blessings in our lives. Help us for your glory and for their benefit not to assume that they're okay with you just because we hope some weird things. Help us to be sure by bringing them to you in prayer, being the priest and priestess, prophets and prophetesses, deacons and deaconesses, whatever it is in our home. And doing the job of being Christians who intercede, pray, and witness for lost people. And to take the blinders off our eyes that says everybody's okay. Help us to do that. Lord, we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward for the morning offering. And as they're coming forward, let me just remind you, God's invitation is always open. It's never too late. You know, I'm looking at a family who had a loved one who accepted Christ on his deathbed. It's never too late. So keep praying.